Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Real Talk. My name is Glenn Lawson. It is a thrill to be back here in this seat. I haven't been in this seat for a little bit. And those of you who listen on Google Podcasts and the like, you know what? It is my sincerest apologies. Because I'm sure you thought that I deserted you. But I did not desert you. I'm still here and we're still doing our thing. To catch you guys up a little bit. What I have been doing is I've been working on a new project. We've been working on a thing with my friend Paul Swanson of the Swanson Report. That's Swanson, S-W-A-N-S-E-N, a thing called the Morning Report, which takes a lot of time because it's a daily thing for sure. And we're covering two or three stories every broadcast. And at the same time, I've been developing a thing called Fightback Media Network, which is a 24/7, 365 podcast network, getting that thing up and rolling. And that's been a learning curve. I must tell you, it's been a learning curve, but it's up and rolling right now. It is maxed out right this very second. It's doing all that we can afford to do. So it's taken a lot of my time and it's taken a lot of my energy. And not that that's an excuse, but I wanted to give you an update on what was going on so you didn't think that I just deserted you guys, and that's not it at all. We're trying to make life better for urban conservatives, that's what we're doing. And in the meantime, since I've seen you last probably, I got another job. So I'm working a second job now. So it's a lot. I'm just saying, y'all. It's a lot. It's a bunch. I want to talk about something that I really think is important. And I think that we need to start looking. And you guys know I've always looked at conservatism a little differently than a lot of people. But I'm of the mind that this is a thing that we have to really, really start talking about and start really focusing in on. I remember a conversation. This all goes back to a conversation I had with somebody who was involved with Andrew Breitbart, Brandon Darby. And when Brandon told me about what he did right after Katrina and how he thought about who he was beforehand, And who he really was, but who he really was, who he thought he was, and then as it turned out, who he really was. And this is what this program tonight is going to be about. It's going to be about volunteerism, that the conservative movement has to get their act together, as far as volunteerism goes. Not only because it's a good idea, but it's one of those things like, yeah, looks good on a resume, but it's really a good idea to do. So we're going to take a little break. We'll be back with more of the program right after these messages. Thank you ever so much for joining us this evening and spending some time with us. We'll be back right after this. Are you looking for a reliable transportation, but you don't have a bunch of money? Are you wary of used car types? And you should be. You just need a car you can afford and a dealer you can trust. Great news!
Good Guy Cars is here. John Desbrow is something you don't find every day. An honest used car dealer. Good Guy Cars is at 8412 Industrial Boulevard in Tampa, Florida. The phone number is 813-999-9992. That's 813-999-9992. The web address is www.goodguycars.com. In America, there are three proven ways to build wealth: business, investment, and real estate. All three seem to have high hurdles to jump to get into, but believe it or not, real estate is the lowest of the three hurdles, and multifamily real estate investing is the best way to go. From duplexes to apartment complexes, multifamily investing brings the biggest bang for your investment buck. My friends at Buy It, Rent It, Profit and the Landlord Academy are ready, willing, and able to get you going on the path of building wealth. Contact Joe Ebanks and Brian Chavis at buyitrentitprofit.com. Buyitrentitprofit.com.
All right. Well, again, thank you ever so much for spending some time with us this evening. We appreciate that greatly. Again, my name is Willie Lawson, and this is Real Talk. So, and we're being listened to everywhere. We're here on Blog Talk Radio. We're here on Google Podcasts. You're probably listening on Google Podcasts. We're on iTunes. So it would do me a great service if you would be so kind to send, if you're listening to the program, send me an email and let me know where you heard the program. I'd really super appreciate that. That'd be great. Wherever you heard Deezer, wherever you're hearing the program, just send me an email, wls860@gmail.com, and just write. You don't have to write in the body. Just write in the subject: heard you on iTunes, heard you on Spotify, heard you on whatever. That would be very, very cool, and I'd appreciate that greatly. And that would help us in our where do we advertise, where do we put our efforts into getting more listeners. Wherever there are the most now, let's go ahead and wherever the water is running, let's go ahead and dig our well there. That's my thought. All right. Again, I was talking to Brandon Darby. This is a number of years ago, and he was telling me that of his work in New Orleans in the Ninth Ward after Hurricane Katrina, and some of the realizations about himself that he came up with. He had always considered himself left leaning, and it's basically because he thought that because he had a heart to help people, it seemed to be the narrative that the people who have the heart to help people, you know, and especially people who can't do them any good, you know, were left leaning. Not they were leftists necessarily, but they were left leaning. And that was, and that's what most people had thought. And frankly, I think that that's really, really the, you know, the that narrative still exists. When you start looking at organizations like Habitat for Humanity, that seems to be a left-leaning organization. You know, ex-President Carter had a lot to do with that organization. And there are other organizations around that are environmental organizations like the Sierra Club and on and on and on forever. And they all seem to be left-leaning. Now, if you take a sharp pencil and you look at the amount of money that that conservatives and conservative causes donate to charities, what you'll find out is that those on the right do a lot more of that than people on the left. That's just the numbers. However, I still don't think, you know what, and that being true, and you can argue if that's true or not, but I believe that the numbers bear that out. I don't necessarily think that that's the best thing in and of itself. And I wrote in the show notes here, you know, it seems the left has a lock on the volunteer thing in America. the narrative is almost, if you care about helping people that can do nothing for you, then you are mostly a liberal progressive Democrat. So when people have this heart for these things, they sometimes find themselves having to identify with those on the left. This is a problem as I see it. Conservatism and volunteerism are not mutually exclusive by any means. So I like to encourage more conservative types to do more than just stroke a check, but to get their hands dirty in helping their communities. I think that that's super important, because I'll tell you what, you can stroke that check, but you stroke it in private. A lot of times no one knows where it came from. You know what? Okay, so the organization raises $10 million, but no one knows where that money comes from. The faces of these organizations are oftentimes left-leaning. So the narrative is written either intentionally or unintentionally that this that it is the left-leaners who are supporting this organization, when the funders of the organization or the majority funders may indeed not be left-leaning. You know what I'm saying? So this is why it's super important that you and I, just regular, you know, conservative folks, be willing to get out there and get our hands dirty. Something that I am super grateful for in the past few years is that my wife's job actually gives her 8 hours a year. 8 hours, started off with 8 hours a year. I'm doing a whole day of volunteer work. She gets paid a day to go out and do work that day in the community. And for the past few years, we have been going to a place called Trinity Cafe here in Tampa. Trinity Cafe is a restaurant, basically a free restaurant for people who need food. I think they serve two meals a day. I think they serve a breakfast and a lunch, and it's for folks who need food. It's not just for the homeless, but it is for homeless. It's not just for the working poor, but it is for the working poor. There's no one makes you swipe a card at the door of the Trinity Cafe. No one makes you swipe a card. No one goes through your wallet. No one asks you to fill out any paperwork. If you're hungry, you get to sit down and eat a hot home-cooked meal. And you get that a couple times a day. I think they serve breakfast and they serve lunch. I think on Saturday they just serve breakfast on Saturday. I don't know. But I know during the week they serve breakfast and they serve lunch. And the chef, and I don't mean cook, I mean the chef, used to work in a 5-star restaurant downtown, but decided that this is what he wanted to do for the rest of his life. Nothing is frozen and microwaved. Everything is cooked from scratch. Most of the food they get from Feeding America, and that's important. Remember Feeding America or Feeding Tampa Bay. Remember that, because we're going to talk about that in a little bit. And so we've been doing that, and people come in. They sit at a table with a tablecloth. They get to eat with silverware. No plastic trays. Somebody gets to, they get to sit, they get to relax for a moment. Someone serves them food, and that's what we would do. It kind of goes like this, and I love explaining it to people, because if you're in the Tampa Bay area and you get a chance to do this, this is kind of what you expect. There are two people per table. One's a host or hostess who sits down at the table and entertains the guests. I don't mean do card tricks or comedy. But you engage them in conversation and ask them how their day went and that kind of stuff. And to see if they need anything like water, if they need tea or whatever they need. The other person is the runner who goes and says, oh, we're having this and this, which would you like? And then you go get the plates and you bring them out. You can bring them out in serving, you know what, in servings. You can get the first thing and the second thing, or you can bring it out all at one time, whatever the guests want and however they want it. And they get to eat. Either they get to eat with conversation or they get to eat in peace. It's up to them. And when they're done, you clean up their, you clean up their plate, you take their plate, and you put and so I see somebody else comes and takes their plate away, and you clean where they were. They don't have to do it, and it's very nice. It's like being at a restaurant, except they don't have to pay, and nobody asks them for any identification. Nobody asks them for anything. If you're hungry, come and eat. So we've loved doing that for the past few years. And we've done that actually a couple times a year sometimes. And we just love doing that. Great people who volunteer there. Great people who work there. The volunteer organizers are awesome. The kitchen staff is incredible. And chef is amazing. And what we find there is that there are a lot of church groups. Because you need a crew. You need a crew to go in and do that. I mean, you can go in, a couple of people can volunteer, but you need a crew. You need about 25 people to do a shift, and the shift is like an hour and a half, 2 hours. So you need about 25 people or maybe 30 people to do a shift, because you need people in the kitchen, in the dish room. You need bus help. You need hostesses. You need runners. You need a maitre d'. There's a lot of positions that need filling. So you need a crew. So you can go in as an individual, or you can go in as a couple like we do and participate in with whatever's there, who's ever there. But there's a lot of church groups that do it, and that's really super. Because church groups, for the most part, are more right-leaning. And it kind of shows them in a good light. Now, here's what I'm not saying go to volunteer in your Make America Great hat. Please. As a matter of fact, please don't do that. Please don't do that. We're not advertising for the president. We're not advertising for the Republican Party. What we're doing is we're advertising and advocating for conservatism. People will find out. I've told people in my area, where I live, I said that, you know, do you know who ought to do this kind of stuff? People who are involved in the, what they call it? Oh, I got out. So I don't remember what the hell it's called. People who are in the Republican Party here, the Republican Executive Committee. They should have a day of volunteerism as the Hillsborough County Republican Executive Committee. Now, at one point, this committee used to be about 400 people. 400 people to send on a place to volunteer to clean up. Things happen. And then people ask, well, whose week was it this week? Oh, it was Hillsborough County Republican Executive Committee. They came in and did this. They came in and fed all these people. They came in and did blah, 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 whatever it is. Because this has got to be something, I think the volunteerism aspect has to be something that the Republican Party and conservatives are associated with. You understand what I'm saying? And I don't think that they are. I think that, again, we get the kudos for being able to stroke a check. But I don't think that, and you may think differently, but I don't think that Republicans and conservatives, when people think about Republicans and conservatives, they think about volunteerism. And if you believe anything, like you say, you believe in the, in being a conservative or being a Republican, we should be considered. I mean, when someone says I'm a conservative, someone should automatically think that we have a heart of volunteerism. The next question is, well, where'd you volunteer this week? Was it a homeless shelter? Was it a women's shelter? Was it at the SPCA? Was it at a soup kitchen? Was it a place called Feeding Tampa Bay? Now, I want to talk about Feeding Tampa Bay. Feeding Tampa Bay is an offshoot of Feeding America. I had an opportunity while on the air with WGUL 860 here in town. I pitched in and sat in for Bill Bunkley. And a lot of you who was all from the air, this area know Bill Bunkley. And Bill, I know Bill's been battling cancer. Bill, we're praying for you, buddy. We want you to get better. I know that you're out and about after your first set of treatments. We're looking forward to not just remission, but the omission of cancer, that it goes away, that you don't have to have that, have it in your body. So we're praying for you, Bill. Thank you. And so I got to pitch in for Bill when I was over there, and I had a chance to interview the CEO of Feeding America, and I found out what they do and how they do it, and I was super impressed. Super impressed with how they do it. He said something to me that I didn't really expect. He said, "We don't need food." These are people who are feeding people who said they don't need food, because they get food from the major grocers and logistics people. They've got food. The problem is the logistics of dealing with that food, the sorting of the food, and of course getting it to where it needs to go. The transportation costs, especially when fuel costs were through the friggin' roof. That's why they needed money. I mean, needed a hands-on help to sort the groceries. So this year, and I mentioned, I told you that I want you to remember Feeding Tampa Bay and Feeding America, because this year we mixed it up a little bit. We went to Feeding Tampa Bay, and you might have seen that on our Facebook page. We'll talk with Deb and Will, our Facebook page, and we went to Feeding Tampa Bay where we sorted groceries. Big pallets of groceries that needed to be sorted into smaller boxes. So when people came for them, either at the Feeding Tampa Bay grocery store, which is in the same facility, or they were being shipped out to other charities like the Red Cross, like Trinity Cafe, like the Salvation Army, then it was easier than to go, oh, in this box is breakfast stuff, or in this box are drinks, or in this box there's cleaning supplies, whatever. Or there's, in this box, there's paper products like paper plates and or plastic forks and that kind of stuff. So you separated stuff out. Oh, and this box is canned goods. Oh, and this box is canned vegetables. Or this box is canned sauce, whatever. Well, and this box is candy. So I remember the candy box, candies and cookies and that kind of stuff. So dessert boxes. So it takes a huge crew to come in. They run two crews a day. Most of the crews are about 110 volunteers that come in and sort groceries in this monstrous warehouse. Again, something for Hillsborough, and I'm using them as an example, but you've got organizations where you live, wherever you live, that can do the very same thing, that should be doing the very same thing, that can have the same opportunities. I'm using the Hillsborough County Republican Executive Committee as an example of people who should be ready at the drop of the hat to volunteer. Again, I understand it would be easy to simply, on behalf of the Hillsborough County Republican Executive Committee, to stroke a check. Everybody pitches in, you stroke one big check, and of course they can use the money. But I'm telling you, nothing makes you get it where people are in America, where people are in your community, than getting your hands dirty. Nothing makes you get it when you serve a person who is living on the street a hot meal, and you treat them like a human being, you treat them like somebody special, then you get it. Then you understand more than you can possibly understand when you just write a check and you pop it in the mail, or you get online and you give them your credit card number. When you see the family that's been living in their car come in for breakfast on a Saturday morning, and it's mom, dad, and three kids. Jesus, then you get it. The last time we were, my wife and I were at Trinity, there was a couple that came in, and they were, frankly, they were freaking delightful. They were so nice, and they were funny, and they were thankful, and they were just a delightful couple. And when the morning session was over, my wife and I were leaving, and we saw them in this car, and they must have had everything that they owned in this vehicle. They were living out of their car at the time. They had stopped in to eat because that's how they were eating. That's how they were getting nutrition. Now, had you just seen them on the street, had you seen them in a grocery store, had you seen them at a restaurant, you would have thought, what a delightful couple. So the idea is that you get it better if you actually get your hands dirty a little bit, if you actually get out there and do some of this volunteer, this volunteer work. And I think, again, conservatives should be known for their volunteerism. However, right now, the narrative is what? The narrative is what? The narrative is that the people who do the most volunteer work are people who are left-leaning. And that may actually be true. That may actually be true. Even that the people who actually fund these organizations may actually be people who are more on the right, because the numbers say, the tax numbers say that as far as charitable contributions, the tax numbers say that people who are on the right give more than people on the left. People who are on the right give more to their churches than people who are on the left from tax records and the like. So, however, it is super important, I think, that conservatives flip the script on volunteerism. We have organizations that get all excited and get juiced up to get people elected, whether it's local or state or federal offices. It is my belief that we should have these same organizations as fired up and as juiced up to help people who need help in their own communities. Because those organizations are already set up. There's already hierarchy. There's already a system set up to where these organizations can get out and do stuff. And I think they should. I think we have to. I think that if we're looking to win the culture war in America, this is the place to start. And let there be no doubt, there is a culture war in America. And let there be no doubt, it is my opinion that Republicans and conservatives are losing that culture war. We are losing it. We are getting crushed. And volunteerism, open volunteerism, is one of those things that we can do to stem the tide, to turn the ship around, so to speak, in this culture war, that people have to see us as people who care. You know, it's cool to be constitutionalist. It's cool to stand up for your individual rights. It's cool. All that stuff I love, and it has to happen as well. TOO. But it is equally as important that people understand in America that not only do you love the country, you love its people. And that's where volunteerism comes in. If you have any comments, please send me an email at wls860@gmail.com. If you have any ideas about where people should volunteer, or if you need volunteers and you would like to help me gather them up for you, send me an email, wls860@gmail.com. All right, till we see you again, go out there and learn something, love somebody, and for goodness sakes, y'all take care of yourself, because you know what? We are all we have. Until we see you again. Bye-bye now.